Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Thank you very much, Ryan Burrell. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. It is a Tuesday afternoon, 720 WGN. Thanks very much for listening. Orion Samuelson, I'm not sure, are you still tuned in there? I can't see you from where I am. Orion has probably stepped away from the microphone. One of the things that we're going to talk to John Najarian in just a couple of minutes is the fallout from the Brexit vote. And Orion brought up something that I wanted to actually ask John about, the fact that it looks like the travel up, maybe Donald Trump was right. It looks like the travel opportunities for going to Great Britain are sparking a spending spree. The trading is up for Expedia and also for there was another one there, Priceline as well, doing pretty well in the wake of this Brexit standoff. So we'll see how that works. Ryan Burrow, I know you're in the newsroom watching things, and it looks as if Wall Street is settling down just a little bit today.
Yeah, you know, we didn't know if we were going to see red or green today, and we've been so far in the green as far as I can tell. Right now up 148, the Dow, NASDAQ up 67, S&P 500 up 21, so far, so good.
And the other thing is gold has dropped off a little bit. I know that there was a bit of a run on gold when people were looking at the currencies. But I got to tell you, one of the things, my daughter is in London studying this summer. And so, you know, the world has just changed so much. She sent me a text earlier, and she was at the London Eye. And I said, hey, you got to go to Trafalgar Square. There's a big protest, a Remain protest going on at Trafalgar Square today. And she wrote back, she says, I know my teachers told us we should probably steer clear. I'm like, come on. It's history. You've got to go. And she just texted me just about 5 minutes ago a picture of her in the rain at Trafalgar Square at the Remains protest. So I've posted that on Facebook, and I tweeted it out as well.
Well, perhaps the bigger story, though, did you see what happened in soccer yesterday?
Yes, I know.
England lost to Iceland. That's not a feather in the cap for England, that's for sure. That's a rough one.
When it rains, it pours, right? There are only, I think, 300,000 people who live in Iceland, and only 12 of them play soccer.
The hits just keep coming for England this week, I tell you.
Not so good for some people. It's been rough. Okay, so we're going to talk to, we hope to connect with John Najarian. We seem to have lost him. I know he survived the week because he's been tweeting today, but it's been rough for those guys on Wall Street. Also, Suzanne Mushin will be here in just a few minutes. Also, Andrew Herman from DNA Info. I don't know if I told you earlier, but Andrew's talking about a company that makes jeans, specifically women's jeans, in Chicago. Talk about manufacturing jobs not being around. Well, apparently there are some. We're going to start with John Najarian, though, who joins us on a phone line. John, can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine, Stephen.
Hey,
thank you.
Welcome to the Business Lunch, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well today. It's a crazy day, Stephen.
I want to ask you, can we be personal at the outset?
Sure.
Because you were tweeting earlier, and you know, we lost Buddy Ryan. I knew Buddy in my days with working with the Bears. You played for Buddy Ryan, and I just want to give you a moment to express your thoughts there.
Sure. Well, I'd love to, and thank you for that. I thought Buddy was a tremendous guy. I thought he was gruff and tough, but he was also just a super, nice man. You didn't see that side of him much. Perhaps you did, Steve, but most of us didn't get to see much of that, especially the players. They had to sort of discover it. See you guys. They had to sort of discover it just by, being around him and learning some of his, eccentricities, but he was loved by the players that played for him. Brilliant strategist, and just I couldn't say enough nice things about him. A guy that a lot of people refer to as, you know, just so mean and tough and so forth. I'd say he was the opposite.
Well, you know, it is one of those things that from the outside, and I would consider myself an outsider certainly, it's hard to understand how that relationship can build, but you certainly could and speak to it. So nice.
Yeah,
we remember.
If you asked Hampton or, of course, Singletary or Otis or any of the guys that were stars on that team and starters for him, they would all say that a decent percentage of their success was because of his tutelage and his strategies. So, yeah.
Hampton said it this morning.
We're going to miss him.
Yeah, Buddy Ryan. Okay, let's talk about Brexit and all of that. I mean, things seem to be settling down a bit now, not that we're back to where we were, but I'm interested in you because I was shocked. I didn't expect this vote. You're the guy actually putting money up and making trades. How were you poised for this, or when the vote came down as a trader, what did you have to do?
Well, my brother and I, since we manage money for people, we were thinking that the risk was not priced in very well into the market. So luckily, we were long a lot of gold contracts. We were long volatility bets. These are things that get they are worth more money as the market drops because people seek insurance. Sure. So basically, these are insurance contracts. So we were long a lot of that for clients. And knock on wood, Stephen, through the first 6 months of the year, the client portfolios are up almost 20% with the market now down or flat on the year. And so
that's pretty good, John DeCherian.
And I am tooting my own horn, but what we try to do is take people out of the markets through put protection, through that insurance I'm talking about, as well as through things like gold that increase in value when there's times of market turmoil. So that has worked out throughout 2016, and I think it'll continue to play that way.
Where are you with gold today? Because it looks as if it's backing away a little bit.
It is backing away, although I just bought some of the junior miners, the GDXJ. I just bought some of that just an hour ago because of unusual activity, big institutions buying on that dip rather than selling on the dip. So I figured, okay, it's down 70 cents today. I'll take another shot. It's about a $41 or so equity right now, and that's the ETF for the junior, the smaller cap gold miners and silver miners, GDXJ.
And, you know, Donald Trump was being ridiculed, and, you know, I think fairly so. He's in Great Britain. The prime minister resigns, and he's talking about his great new suites at the Turnberry Golf Course. But he said, hey, this, right? But he said, hey, this is going to be a great opportunity for tourism for England. And we see today that Expedia, Priceline, those guys are doing very well. Stocks are up. It looks like maybe there will be some great tourism opportunities.
Oh, there sure will be. I'm booked.
Yeah, I'll be John.
I'm going over July 17th, and I'll be over there for a couple weeks.
I'll be there on the 8th, John.
Oh, my. Well, yeah. See, we're both getting the benefit of the pound being significantly lower. It's at least a 10 or 11% decline from where it was this time last week. So anytime you can get 10% off without having to do anything, Stephen, that's that's a pretty good deal.
I just, you know, you just have to laugh with or at or about Trump sometimes. It just works out. John DeCherian, thanks for joining us today. We're a little backed up on time. I appreciate the quick visit.
Thank you, Stephen. Sorry I was late today.
That's okay. We'll talk again soon. John DeCherian. It's 12:23. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Thanks very much for tuning in. Andrew Herman is here from DNA Chicago, DNA Info, and comes by to talk about openings and closings usually once a week or so. Andrew, thanks for coming back.
All right, Steve.
Where do you want to start? You want to go to Englewood?
Sure.
All right, let's go to Englewood. Now, there's this acrobatic team that Chicago Boys Acrobatics that's moving into a new space. I got to say, maybe I just didn't pay too much attention. I wasn't aware of them. Everyone knows about the Jesse White Tumblers.
Right. It's kind of the same deal. It's the Chicago Boys with a Z acrobatics team, started 16 years ago by a guy named Tim Shaw. And he was actually a coach with the Jesse White Tumblers and later went on to work for Ringling Brothers. And he started developing troops of young people in Chicago, primarily from the South Side. And they travel all over the world.
And so now, but they kind of have outgrown their space, mm-hmm. so they've moved in. And the guy signed a 10-year lease, so he must be pretty confident.
Right. They had been working out of Robichaux Park, which is around 95th in the Dan Ryan. He outgrew that, and as you say, he's moved into a 14,000-square-foot facility at 901 East 95th Street. That's in Roseland, right near the Chicago State University. And he gives lessons. He recruits people for his traveling troops. He has 25 boys now, or young men now, and he's looking to add 50 more, and they do halftime shows and baseball games and schools.
Interesting guy. Yeah, he's traveled the world, and he said, you know, he could have done this outside the city, but he had a commitment to the city in Englewood. He says, we're not just doing acrobatic shows, we're changing lives.
Well, imagine what taking somebody who's maybe grew up in an isolated environment.
Well, he talks about some of these boys have never seen downtown Chicago.
Right, and then they wake up one day, and they're in Europe, you know, they're in Asia, Australia, and it's just such a great educational opportunity for them and an idea for them. They get to travel around, and you can't be an acrobat forever, obviously,
no.
But at least you start seeing the outside world and the outside possibilities.
It's like any other education. It's just an introduction to what's out there.
Right, so that's Chicago Boys Acrobatic Team with a Z, and they'll be in Brookfield at the 4th of July parade if you want to check them out.
Good for them. Okay, let's put on some... Well, we can't put on these jeans, right? These are women's jeans, Chicago denim. This is a great story. A guy who wants to make blue jeans in the city of Chicago.
Right. So I looked up some numbers. So kind of interesting look at the national numbers in terms of clothing manufacturing. In 1960, 95% of all clothes that was sold in the United States was made in the United States. So almost all of it. By 93, it had dropped down to 52%. And now it's only 2 to 3% of all clothes sold in the U.S. is actually made here. But this guy is trying to buck the trend a little bit by opening a denim factory.
Did you say butt the trend?
My mistake.
Rob McMillan is his name. He's opened up this company, Dearborn Denim, and it's women's jeans. And his notion is that the jeans that women are buying now don't last that long, or that they, you know, making the butt joke, but the fact that after a few hours they start to sag, and he says these are all-day jeans.
Right. An interesting backstory on this guy. He was a bond trader, and his wife was complaining about the quality of the jeans that she was buying or were available in stores, and so he developed this all-day denim, which is, as you say, anti-sag, anti-wrinkle resistant, and he came up with a formula. The fabric is made in Georgia. It's shipped up here to Chicago, and he's got a handful of assemblers who put them together out of this location on the west side.
So he's trying to get into a few stores, but right now you can buy his jeans online. And if you go to Chicago DNA Info, what's the website? Give me the website.
DNAinfo.com/Chicago, Steve.
Sorry.
I know you have it bookmarked. That's why you never have to look it up.
I just searched DNA Chicago, frankly, and it comes up. But there's a link there to his products. And, you know, check him out because the guy's trying to get into some stores. And I love the honesty of him even in the article. He's like, you know, it's starting kind of slow. Sales are a little sluggish.
Yeah, it is. He's, like you say, he's launched an online site. And he says the secret is he's taken the rayon out of the material,
right.
Which I guess is used as a cotton substitute. And he thinks that this creates a superior jean.
Well, let's hope he succeeds. Andrew Herman, good to see you. Thanks for coming back.
Okay.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here, 12:37 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Suzanne Muchen is in the studio. She's the co-host of The Big Payoff, one of my favorite podcasts that you can listen to at WGNplus.com. Suzanne, welcome.
Thanks, Steve.
I have it on my phone now, the Big Payoff.
So that's step one. You're in a 12-step program.
Yeah, I know. I should listen to more podcasts.
Right.
I am going to be away for a while, leading a trip to Prague and Vienna.
Yes.
Starting Friday. And, you're going to be one of the hosts.
Of the whole show. It's a takeover.
I think
it's a hostile takeover.
Well, you know what? If you do really well, I'll come back and undermine you in one way or another.
They've already pretty much said to me, like, you know, It'll be your show.
It's just a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time.
He's short-lived. Okay, so Suzanne is here, and you know we always exchange emails about what we're going to talk about. Mostly I receive, and Suzanne tells me what she wants to talk about.
Because we have that kind of relationship.
Yeah, and so I said, one of the things that struck me was Elizabeth Warren's speech yesterday. She was in Cincinnati. First time she had campaigned alongside Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Big deal.
Big deal.
She is has shown that she has an ability to just tick off Donald Trump, to get under his skin, as Hillary Clinton said. And so we'll probably hear a lot more of that. We have one clip I want to play here real quick. This is Elizabeth Warren yesterday.
Donald Trump calls African Americans thugs, Muslims terrorists, Latinos rapists and criminals, and women bimbos. Hillary Clinton believes that racism, hatred, injustice, and bigotry have no place in our country. She fights for us.
I'll tell you, she's very effective, very strong.
And she's got a very big following.
A huge following, and she's just electric. I mean, it's fascinating. Who else speaks? I mean, I guess Donald Trump does that on the other side.
He does. She has a populist tone, which is really what people want. They want someone who sounds like the people they hear on the street.
And she has an ability. You know, I met her once. She was here. The newsroom at WGN used to be up on the fourth floor in the Tribune Tower. And this is sort of just my 15-second impression of her. I was tucked in this little newsroom office. She's walking up and down the hallways after a Tribune editorial board meeting. And she's the one who makes a point to go in every open door.
Yes.
And she extended her hand. She says, "Hi, I'm Elizabeth Warren."
That's her whole position, that she's of the people.
And she never stopped. Everyone she saw, "Hi, I'm Elizabeth Warren." "Oh, what's this room?" "Well, it's the WGN." "Oh, it's very nice, you know."
Yeah.
And then, boom, on to someone else.
Right.
So she's going to be very effective for the Democrats. Here's what I took a little issue with.
What kind of a man roots for people to lose their jobs, to lose their homes, to lose their life savings? I'll tell you what kind of a man. A small, insecure money grubber who fights for no one but himself.
I need to hear what you took issue with.
I think
that is like rated G relative to what we've been getting from the Donald.
And that's the problem. I don't think you can measure yourself by Donald Trump, because what he does is wholly inappropriate and wrong and shouldn't be done. So it doesn't make you okay to do it too. And I think those words were more Trump-like than a supporter of Hillary Clinton should be comfortable with.
Well, Trump's already established that he does, in fact, like to measure other people against him.
Yeah.
In ways that Elizabeth Warren is not capable of doing, given her genitalia. That said, the fact is, she's not actually fighting fire with fire. If she really wanted to go after Donald Trump in his own language and using his own terms, she would have gone way below the belt.
I understand that, but take Donald Trump out of this and put Elizabeth Warren's comments in 2012 or 2008 against Barack Obama.
Okay.
And those words and that tone are so beyond the pale of the way we typically speak. I'm with you on her. I think she's great. I think she could be hugely effective. I think there's a danger in overstepping and becoming too much like the guy, the pot calling the kettle black. And I just think she did it a little bit there.
I hear you. I wish that we were still in 2012 or we're going back there. But unfortunately, I think a new era has been unleashed. And I think that we are in a soundbite world. We are in the tweet something provocative world. And I don't like it. And I'm not saying that I support that language in general, but I am saying in this moment, she's right at the edge, in my point of view. You may think she's crossed the line. I just don't. I mean, when he's calling her, you know, Pocahontas.
Right.
I mean,
oh,
come on.
So wait.
Come on.
So I agree. And we're on the same page on this one. We're in the same ethnicity. but, you know, I was listening to MSNBC yesterday, and one of the problems with the Trump campaign is they don't have the surrogates, the supporters, to go out and make his case the way a typical candidate would. So the surrogate who was speaking up for Donald Trump after this Elizabeth Warren speech on MSNBC, and these are people provided by the campaign often, was a former Apprentice contestant.
Yep.
I didn't recognize her name. And she said she was part Native American. So the host said, "Well, come on, what's this Pocahontas thing?" And the woman said, "Well, in Native American culture, Pocahontas is revered, so it might be a compliment.
I mean, come on.
This is
come
a woman
on.
Speaking
First
for
all,
Donald Trump.
Very well media trained, because yeah. she must have assumed that that was going to come up, so somebody fed her that line. But look, I think we can agree that this isn't the way any of us would really want our statesmen and women to be talking. Unfortunately, I don't think that the genie can go back in the bottle. I really don't.
I don't either. But I am uncomfortable with Elizabeth Warren leading the charge out of the, you know, going a little too far. That's all.
Which, can you tell me which particular
money grubbing little man?
Uh-huh.
Those are not for any particular reason.
Yeah.
Just the tone of it, because I think she could say all of those things, and she did say
you know
all
what,
of those
that
things.
That I agree with.
With
she,
different words.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She right. I just wanted to get to the specific phrase that you found offensive.
So,
I hear
Vice
you.
President.
I don't think so.
There's a Republican governor, right, in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that as much as she needs a progressive agenda and a more liberal agenda, I don't think it's going to be Elizabeth Warren on the ticket. I just think that doesn't really add so much to the ticket.
I'll tell you what, though. She is fascinating and fun to watch,
yeah.
and I'm
oh,
sure
yeah.
we'll see more. Okay, we only have a minute or so left. This Ghostbusters movie looks terrible. The one with all the women?
Okay. You just know. See, this is when Steve sends me emails about the topics. It's like he's just dangling things out on the hook for me to, like, snap at with
Did someone call? I think people have called the trailer for this Ghostbusters the worst trailer ever.
The worst trailer ever. The other funniest comment about it is that people were saying it ruined their childhood, which Leslie Jones commented, which was so great. If that ruined your childhood, you need therapy.
Right. So the point is people are coming really just ripping this movie
ripping it.
Before they've ever seen it,
yeah.
and the theory is it's because it's for
all women. I'd like to separate out the fact that it's for women from the fact that it just may be a bad movie.
Right.
I mean, there's always such high expectations when we do another version or an updated version of an old favorite. It's like a losing battle to begin with.
It's weak.
Weak.
It's weak. And then you make it about gender. If you flip the gender, you
they
made it
have,
about gender.
They should have expected that.
Right.
I think they sounded too surprised at the backlash. I mean, what if we took Charlie's Angels and put three guys in?
No one would go.
No one would go. Actually, you know what? That's right. Because women wouldn't go. And if they were three hot guys, maybe women would
maybe,
go.
Maybe. I don't know.
But, you know, it does change the dynamic. But, I mean, you know, come on. It may just be a bad movie.
Having said all that, it's weak. It's gender begging.
Oh, stop it, Steve.
No, it is. It's begging. It's weak in that they shouldn't do that. I don't think they should have just flipped it. My point is, go see the movie and
right.
then get
right.
upset. Don't
right.
get upset now.
Yeah, and if it's ruining your childhood, you know.
No.
It's hard for me to find a lot of empathy there.
All right. Suzanne Buchan, the co-host of The Big Payoff. Listen on Friday at noon, the host of The Business Lunch.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a whole new world.
It is a change in era here at 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's 12:53 on the Wintrust Business Lunch Tuesday afternoon. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 148 points this afternoon, and that can only be because Executive Vice President of Investments at the Mutual Fund Store, Andy Smith, has agreed to join me to talk about Wall Street on the Business Lunch. Andy, welcome back.
Well, I'm glad you got those talking points.
Yeah.
It looks like the market is up. Everybody seems to be happy that we get to talk again, so this is good stuff.
Okay, so it's up, but it's nowhere near it where it was, obviously. Will it get back to where it was? I'm sure it will eventually.
Yeah, hard to tell. I mean, it was a pretty momentous thing that happened Thursday night into Friday here with the United Kingdom voting to basically remove themselves from the EU. Friday, a lot of stuff was going on. Monday, a lot of stuff continued to go on. Will this continue? It's hard. It really is hard to tell. I mean, it's nice to see green on your screens after a couple of days of
right.
dark red. But, you know, this is a good time for people to just kind of sit back, you know, stop, remember to breathe. And then everybody can kind of figure out what's going to go, what's
well,
going to happen.
Okay, right. So one of the things that you, when you and I have talked, we've talked about this need for having a plan written down, you know, so that you've got your long-term goals in mind and a long-term way to get there. I would imagine a lot of people see that deep dark red that you referred to and right away want to call their advisor, call their broker and do something. That's probably not a bad idea if they're, what they're doing is a long-term do. I mean, not an instant reaction, right? If you're not spurred to, if you weren't spurred to act 2 or 3 months ago, maybe this will get you to sort of get things in line to weather the next one.
It's a good thing when it makes somebody pick up the phone and call somebody else, either from the advisor side to the client, or if the clients have questions. I mean, it's good that you have somebody on your side that you can reach out to and say, look, what's going on? What does this mean? But more importantly, what's this mean to me? From our perspective, I mean, the largest effect of this Brexit vote really is the psychological impact right. that it has on markets. Political uncertainty, economic uncertainty, these are not welcome conditions for most investors. So it really does help if you have an advisor, some professional that you can call and say, you know, what should I be doing? Probably they're going to say nothing, but they're going to help remind you that you got to, you know, check your emotion at the door. Markets are going to go up. Markets are going to go down. This is not something to tactically respond to right now.
You know, the way you say that makes me think you run a business. You're hiring financial experts, financial planners who are experts. But when you're doing that, you must also have to look at their demeanor and sort of check out their bedside manner, because that's an important part of the job that they do.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a cold kind of scientific type of process when you go about picking investments, figuring out how to build these long-term retirement plans. But there's a nice way to say, look, now's probably not a good time to be doing anything.
Right. Right.
And, you know, if you, the gruffness doesn't really go all that well. The coldness, the aloofness doesn't really go all that well. People are scared. People are concerned. I mean, we've got the, you know, 24-hour kind of news cycle being crammed down our throats sometimes, and it really is hard to separate what we need to be thinking about versus what we really need to be doing. But it's good that you have somebody to be able to kind of ask questions and talk to. Again, you want to know what happened, what's it mean, and what's it mean to me. But in terms of, you know, are we doing anything? No, we're not doing anything. We're answering a lot of questions. But unless you have huge, huge, you know, what I would call life events, birth, marriage, illness, death, if you have known cash needs in the next 3 to 6 months, yeah, those are reasons to have some cash on the sidelines. But in terms of what happened on Friday and Monday, are these reasons to be doing something to your long-term plans? They're really not right now.
That's Andy Smith. He's the Executive Vice President of Investments at Mutual Fund Store. Andy, how do people find out more information?
You can always go to mutualfundstore.com. We've got 3 great offices here in the Chicagoland area. Great guys. But, you know, they'll say the same things that I'm saying. Let's go back to the plan. Let's build a plan if you don't have one, because our job is to basically get you from where you are right now to where you want to be 5, 10, 20 years down the road. This stuff, you know, Friday and Monday, it's no fun to watch, but these are not things to waylay you from your plan.
You're a great ambassador for it, because I think you've explained it clearly and not a lot of frantic emotion about the whole thing. It's a long-term event. Thanks very much for joining us today.
It really is. Thanks, Steve, for having me.
I love talking to you. Hope we can do it again soon.
You bet.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.